The Kansas Capitol building is now, for the most part, empty of legislators. And the president of Kansas State University says the longest and probably the most stressful session in state history is over. Dr. Kirk Schultz says he's been in Kansas 6 years now, and this was the most dysfunctional legislative session he has seen. Schultz says despite the many challenges faced with such things as possible furloughs and higher education basically being held hostage at the end of the session, Kansas State came away looking pretty good.
There's no cuts to our base budget. We secured funding, $60 million bond issue for renovation of the Seton Complex for the College of Architecture, Planning, and Design. And there was a tuition cap put in place by the legislature at the Consumer Price Index plus 2%. So for that, for this next year, that means it's going to be somewhere, our maximum tuition increase will be somewhere around 3.6%. So all in all, we came out of it in a decent place. Not much new money, but at the same time, considering where things could have been, it could have been much worse.
3.6%.
Right.
What does that mean in dollars?
We're presenting, that's our proposal, and I want to make that completely clear. The regents have to consider the proposal, and they have to actually do two readings on it. Normally, in a legislative session, where the legislature's done in May, early May, in mid-May, we actually put forward our tuition and fees proposals to the regents for the first reading, and then in mid-June, we have the second reading. That's where we know where it is. Right now, it's a proposal that we will be giving to the regents for the first time tomorrow, and then they'll have a chance to comment on there. So we'll know more about what exactly that means to all of our students probably later in the week. The reason that I'm mentioning it this particular way, there's also some fee proposals that are being put in place that are not part of that 3.6%. So there's a fee proposal for the College of Engineering, the College of Business, the College of Human Ecology. Interestingly, all three of those fee proposals are focused around one thing only, and that's to increase the number of faculty in those colleges. So the fees are not for faculty plus a bunch of other things. They're to basically increase the number of faculty, and three of our colleges have grown a great deal, and the number of faculty has not kept pace with the new students that we have.
So there's a possibility, not a good one, that tuition would be limited to 3.6, but fees could be imposed all across campus with no limitation.
That's correct. Now, when you say no limitation, the regents have to approve those. So that's not a, we don't just, they're like everything else. We put forward a proposal, we work with our students, and there's something called the Tuition and Fees Committee that is mostly student elected officials and a few university officials, and they start meeting in January, and they look at all these different proposals that come in, and they don't approve everything. They don't approve everything at the level that is requested by deans and different units and things like that. And so when we present something to the regents, it's done with our students. We do not entertain a single fee for anything that the students in that college have not voted and said that they think it's a really good idea. So the engineering student governing group had to meet with the dean and others and say, what's the fee going to be used for? And yes, we're going to give our approval to that. So that's a first step that has to happen. Then it goes to the tuition advisory committee that looks at things on a university basis. They have to approve it as a recommendation made to me, and then I forward it. So when we talk about fees, I want everybody out there to realize that they're carefully done with input and direction from our students. These are not things that I just kind of write in there as an arbitrary number because we happen to like one college and don't like somebody else. It's a very careful process.
The span of this legislative session, it seems to me, has taken a toll on morale, if not just at Kansas State, at all of the regents, and for a couple of reasons. One, wasn't there some point during the session when the Brownback administration talked about defunding higher education?
Yes, that was near the very, very end. That was in the last week, as a matter of fact, because they couldn't put together a tax package to close the budget. And that was one of the things the governor in his administration put out is maybe we can line item out all the university funds. And I think it was a political ploy, but I don't know that. As I explained to several folks earlier today, essentially we walked up to a cliff twice, looked over the edge, and almost jumped. It was that close. The first was we had to put out a whole bunch of letters to every faculty and staff member, every employee of Kansas State for a potential furlough. And we waited until the very last minute, hoping that the state would come through with a budget and we wouldn't have to furlough people. But it turned out we still had to issue those letters on last Friday. What kind of a morale issue are you going to have when you get a letter and I get a letter that says you're not essential, your colleague down the hall gets one that says they're essential? At the end of the day, we didn't have to do furloughs, but everybody took the political hit of going home that weekend, not knowing if they would be furloughed Monday or if they would be here Monday. That's one thing that's a huge morale hit. Then the second thing is after you get through that, they can't agree on a budget, and we start hearing, well, if you don't agree on a budget, if the legislature can't put a tax package together, we may just cut everybody 6-7% and send everybody home. So I think the damage that has happened during this legislative session is going to be long lasting. I think it's going to hurt higher ed's ability, not just K-State, but KU, Wichita State, all the universities. Our ability to recruit people from out of the state of Kansas that don't have Kansas roots. People have seen this on national television, and it's going to affect our ability to recruit and to retain outstanding talent and leadership. So if you were considering a dean's position or a vice president's position or department head's position, right now, would you want to take a job in Louisiana, Kansas, or Wisconsin? Most people would say probably not, because that doesn't look like a great place to be. So I'm worried not just about our current people, but I'm worried about what this means in the future.
One of the interesting things about the furlough was how some K-Staters saw them. And one individual in our department told his boss, furlough me and not him. Mm-hmm. I can get by, he can't.
Right. We had that occurring across our campus. It was amazing the number of people that emailed in and said, look, you know, I've got somebody else in my department. And what we did, and this is important for everybody to realize, when we do furloughs, you do it by position, not person. And that's, people want to take it personally, but a lot of times it's got to be positional. You've got to have your student life people here during the week that you're doing orientation. You can't say, well, we're going to furlough the student life people and we can't have new students come during that week. So it's important for people to realize that. Now, people still take it personally, but we had a lot of people that came through and said, look, you know, financially we can afford, if there needs to be a furlough, take this person there. We appreciate people stepping up and doing that, but it was very important for people to realize we had to do that. The second thing that everybody needs to realize, we didn't have a furlough process in place at Kansas State. We'd never done one, didn't think we would ever have to do one. So Cheryl Johnson in Human Capital Services basically were building a furlough process during the week to be ready for Friday if we had to issue letters. So the good news, if there is any, is that we now have a process. We're going back out and asking people what was good and bad about it. So if we ever have to do this again for any reasons, we at least got something everybody knows about. But that furlough process was built in about 3 days.
One other thing that maybe I shouldn't worry about, K through 12 has been hit real hard. Mm-hmm. What do you think that's going to do to incoming students at Kansas State and the education they bring or don't bring with them?
You know, if you look, and I talk to people in the business community about what is it when you want to locate a business somewhere, what do you look for? If I talk to folks in Johnson County, in the Kansas City area, or rural communities and say, what is important to you? Almost the first thing that almost always comes to mind is how quality is the education system? And largely they mean K through 12. If it looks like the state's not investing, if it doesn't look like we care about education, it's going to drastically affect our ability as a state to grow our economy. So am I worried about students showing up prepared? Absolutely. Am I worried about what this says about the state of Kansas and our commitment to educating that next generation of Kansans? absolutely I'm worried about what it says. I've lived in a couple states that have not supported K-12 education, and let me tell you, it was hard to recruit new businesses to want to locate in that state because of a lack of really quality commitment. The only thing that we got going for us in K-12, and you and I both know a lot of folks who work in that sector that are teachers. They are some of the most dedicated individuals that I've ever met, university faculty and K-12 teachers. They will figure out a way to do a great job with our students, even if they're not supported in that way financially by the state.
We came out looking pretty good. What about next year?
I feel like we've been in a boxing match, you know, and we're kind of bloodied and we got bandages on and all that stuff. And thinking about the next time we're going to step in the ring is a little discouraging. However, the senior leadership team met this morning, and that was one of the first things that came up. What can we do to continue to prepare for the upcoming legislative session next time? What can we do on our messaging? What kind of things do we need to do differently? I look at what we do now in terms of advocacy with the legislature compared to what we did even 4 years ago, and I would say we've doubled our efforts, maybe tripled. I mean, we now work 12 months a year on the state legislature. Even when they're not meeting, we're working very, very hard, building relationships, talking about why K-12 is important. We're going to continue to do that, but at the end of the day, Richard, we cannot do anything if we don't have a legislature that at the end of the day can't make deals. And I don't mean this in a negative way, but can't come together on a consensus on what to do in the state, there's very little higher education can do to help the legislature to fulfill their elected duties, which is to provide a budget for the state of Kansas.
That's the president of Kansas State University, Dr. Kirk Schultz. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.